Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
To his message of spiritual warfare. So you're here because you cried out and God heard that cry. It was an unselfish cry. Very seldom if I met a soldier that's on the training ground to become a general one day that did not cry out only just for their own needs, but for the church. We cried out, people, and God heard our cries. The Lord is soon to come. There's going to be a lot more spiritual warfare as He prepares to come and return back for His church. Many around the world have already recognized the great need for God to restore the works that Jesus' disciples had, that the 70 had, and the one. They preached the gospel. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. Will you do what God's word tells you to do? Or will Egypt rule your heart? Tell you, it's too hard. It's too dangerous. It's for somebody else to do. Oh, Brother Land, I have a different calling. I have a special gift. I'm not even talking about gifts. I'm not talking about governmental office. The enemy does not intend for each of you to understand your believer's ministry. His plan is to pick you off, like I said, and let you start fighting back. Psalms 144:1 says, blessed be the Lord, my strength will teach my hands to war, my fingers to fight. God wants to teach your ministries how to war. He wants to use the body, the hands, to defeat the powers of darkness. The Lord desires to teach our hands to war. In Luke, the 9th chapter, just a few more scriptures here. In Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 1, the scripture says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. In Luke 10:1 it says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, those demons are subject unto us through you, through your name. Scriptures are very clear that the Lord has commissioned you and I also to be his disciples. And we as his disciples should mirror Jesus and his disciples. Amen? We should be like them. We should be like them. Jesus gave power and authority to his disciples. The 70 had this authority and the one. Jesus intended for the church to have it also. The devil knows that we only have what we use. He's not ignorant. If you're not using it, the devil's not ignorant of that either. Now in Ephesians, the 6th chapter of Ephesians, we have weapons, but we need to know what we're fighting against. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, the scripture says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not your might. You can't fight the enemy in the flesh. This is not a physical battle. I'll get into that in just a moment. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the devil has many wiles, schemes, methods, strategies, plans, plots, demonic wiles that he uses. To destroy the body of Christ, attempting to destroy us. But the scripture says, but we wrestle not against humanity, mankind. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But the enemy is in the business of sowing tares. He wants you to hate that person that offended you. We've been hearing a lot the last 24 hours about offenses and unforgiveness. And I just got to tell you this. In Leviticus, the 15th chapter, in God's divine laws for access and holiness, There's a verse 8 that speaks about an individual who's unclean, who spits on somebody to make them unclean. We got a lot of folk that's spitting, spiritual as well as natural, trying to reciprocate the same activity back to them from you, trying to get you to have tares in your spiritual garden. We have a lot of folk that's upset because people didn't hurt them and offended them. And this is one of the traits of an unclean spirit. We tend to associate them with volcanoes, vapors, and glue sniffing, and issue of blood, and diseases, and sexual sins, and but we forget that that spitting is one of the traits, along with crying out, insomnia, and cutting themselves, mutilation, and all these other things. I can remember about 10 years ago, I was in Indiana teaching. And I was teaching a Bible study, and a young man was sitting out there. He had to be 20 feet away, and he spit. And I wasn't wearing glasses then. And he hit me directly between my eyes and both of my eyes. And I remember my occasion to always have a handkerchief, so I remember taking the handkerchief and wiping it off like this. And I did that, not to disrupt everybody else. I said, I bind that demon in the name of Jesus. And then gave my posture a little bit after I bound him up, and I finished my lesson. So after the end of the service, he come outside. He said, "Oh, sir, yes, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear this." I said, "No, that's all right, young man. I said, but, you know, we'll give you some more prayer and everything." He said, "But you don't understand. The last place I went to, these deacons, when I did it, the demon did it, and they beat me up. So anyway, they became unclean too. So you got to be thankful whenever if people get you upset so quick. It's an unclean spirit. You be thinking, looking for Jezebel, rebellion. Y'all going for these big names. You going into the king palaces, and the spiders tearing you up." We go so high. Sometimes we're looking for something too deep. It's simple stuff. Yeah, I try to keep it simple. Our weapons are not supposed to be carnal. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul talks about his boldness for the Lord. And he says, "For we walk not in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh." And that's 2 Corinthians 10 chapter verse 3. Then Paul says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mine through God to pulling down the strongholds." And what are these strongholds in our life? Strongholds are fortresses or forts that the demons get a chance to hide behind because we don't want to repent. And we ought to know what that fort is. It's our idol. If somebody ran on your praise just right, it manifests. I'm telling you, I know because it manifests on me. I just thank God every time He allowed me to manifest, and I realize that I'm not all where I should be, and that I need a little bit more work done on me. God is faithful to those who are faithful to Him. If you really want some help, then expect to go through some battles and stop pointing the finger at everybody else and start looking at yourself. Remember when the disciples were sitting at Jesus early that morning, and He said, "You're going to betray me." He said, all of them said, "Is it I?" But today we can go to a leadership meeting and everybody start pointing the finger at the preacher. Anyway. Anyway, some of us might have left from places like that because of that. You need to go back and repent. We ought to cast down the strongholds or the imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to bring every thought into obedience, people. We're not fighting a physical battle. One of the things you need to understand is that God is not going to throw you into a battle or thrust you into warfare and not equip you so that you can win the battle. If you have mentors and you're following according to God's plan, you will be protected and you will be covered. There are people that are part of our local church, and they're the distant learners. All right, and the distant learners, they may call me or email me at all times in the night or in the day and say, "We were praying for somebody, they're doing this," and I'll tell them over the phone or email what you need to do next. I've had many calls where people had died or where they were in a coma state, eyes rolled back, "What do you do next?" Or breathing, out of control, fear, all kind of things, and we just handled it right there over the phone for those people because they were connected with leadership. Or in my early years, I was connected with leadership. I had someone I could call and get help when there was a need for help. And so this is why it's so important that we have mentors and that we are accountable to someone because there are a lot of things that some of the our mentors have already went through in the battle that can help you. And but I found those that are really not submitted to authority, really not submitted to a mentor, tend to be independent in their thinking. And I hold nothing to chance. I'm not very... as long as I got pastoral leadership over me, I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy. Derek Prince said, I think he went to Florida. I don't know what's... When he started a church in America, he went in that city and found a ministry in that city that was already fully functioning. A man of God, Derek Prince, and submitted to that pastor. He never went anywhere without cover. I don't know how we could do it. I mean, I think I'm getting my hair back because I learned about authority about 6-7 years ago. Because my barber used to say my hair was, I think a lot of things is changing. God restored your youth, everything. Because, these things don't really mean a lot to me. I mean, it means a lot what God says he's going to do, but what I'm saying is, we got to love our life, love not our life unto the death. So I'm here today. It's fine. I can touch my toes and everything. I've been here 2 years ago and I was like this, and the enemy was attacking my back. I was still the same person. Come one time, where my friend at, the piano player? She told me, saw me last October. She said, "You're doing a little bit better than you was last time." I said, "Yes, man, I feel much better." That let me know you love me. She think I wasn't paying attention. Because we're in a family. In other words, we submitted one to another so we can mentor and minister one to another. But the independent, you ain't got nobody going to let, you ain't got no intercessors because you out there on your own. I got that lady tell me she loved me when she let me know she could tell I was sick last time. That's how close you need to be to authority. I should have just talked about authority. This other thing, I'm just reading all my notes. Now you say, well, you just put the notes and start teaching. Oh, Lord, I don't know where we're going to go from this. Deliverance will be the most challenged ministry in the end times because of its impact against the kingdom of Satan. Satan will even help many local churches with their various works and ministries in order to draw their attention from spiritual warfare. Oh, they'll come up with something. Marriage seminars, prison ministries, tom-tom weddings, dance ministry. They'll find something. Or the enemy will find something. He'll give you money, grants, everything. I mean, all kinds of things will come up, get you away from truly getting involved in spiritual warfare. Then everything is okay till you start casting out demons, some people say. I say everything is okay now that I learned about demons, where they at and how to cast them out. Now it's okay. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 14, the scripture talks about God blessing us. Hebrews 5:14, it says, there's strong meat. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I see God is building endurance in you, and you're growing, and he has promised you that you're going to have the ability to discern both good and evil. And I'm not talking about just discern when somebody ain't doing right and using you think you're using discernment to can tell somebody don't like you. That's not what discernment is for. When we're counseling somebody, God is training us to be able to listen and to hear what they're not saying, because in the earnest of their testimony, they're doing their very best to try to tell us what they really feel. We have to listen what the Lord is telling us, what they're not able to tell us, because if they was able to tell us, they'd be free by now. But now we want to use discernment to say, he don't like me. I can tell the way she looks. I got discerning of the spirits. So everybody back off of you because they don't want you to read their mail either. You're going to be to put some mess out on them. So you sit at the table, everybody looking at you. I'm just trying to tell you. You think that's the gift. I've been walking this thing for a long time. I'm telling you, I believe that at least almost all of the gifts God's used through me more than once. And I'd be lying to you if I told you that my gift was discerning spirit. No, that would not be the fullest of truth. It is whatever God will have me to use at that hour for whoever. I notice that the local church, where we've been doing deliverance so long, we very seldom have a lot of violent manifestations, but I'll go to New York and they fall all over the place and word of knowledge is just like that. Pow! I get back home, I ain't got no word of knowledge. I say, I need to talk to you, John. Brother Manette, I need to have a word with you. I got the word of knowledge in me. I'm pastor, Pastor's just going to tell him. This is what the deal is. Where I'm in New York or California, I'm getting words of knowledge. I don't know you. But some of us, we come over here, we know everybody, we still want a word of knowledge on you. Because you don't know the gifts. You ain't submitted nowhere. You're independent. You want everybody to know. I got a gun too. First thing you got to learn is surrender in this business and wait on your calling. What's the rush? I just figured out. I think I've been coming about 10 or 12 years now. I mean, I got good seed, good harvest, good fruit, good submission. I mean, I got a lot to look forward to because I already know I got at least another 30, 40 years, 55, 65, 75, 85. Oops, I shouldn't have gave your age. So I'm just following on with leadership. What's the rush? And another 15 years, if I stay faithful, because I have to be faithful, right? In 15 more years, if I keep studying, keep writing, keep teaching, keep obedient, then I'm going to have a little bit more to help those that come behind you, because you'll be the ones overseeing your work. Some of you are already pastors, and you'll be sending your flocks over and stuff like that. You said, I am, no problem, Brother Landry's over there, Sister Jerry's over there. That's what's going to happen. So what's the rush? You act like the world will come to an end tomorrow. Well, it might. But that's a benefit to you, a believer. Okay, we need to finish up. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those by whom reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God doesn't want you and I as good soldiers to be easily distracted by second masters. There are far too many soldiers that have second agendas, second masters. Those of you that fully commit as a good soldier of the Lord will be gifted with the discernment to be able to discern both good from good. Because there are a lot of good works out there that will get you distracted. Now, some of y'all are going to catch that. And those of you that have been called to be in training to become corporals and sergeants and lieutenants and generals in God's army, which I believe God's going to raise up a great almighty army in the last days of generals, you're going to be tempted the most. Join this group, to be part of that, and get on this team, get on that team. Try to draw you away from your purpose and your calling from God. Who would say that this Texas young man that came from a dysfunctional family needed all that deliverance 20 years ago would travel to nations, would write 9 books up to this point with a high school education, would be on a board of directors of one of the most prestigious ministries in the world that is humble? I'm telling you something. My first year, I was offered a church with a half a dozen men and women of color, total Caucasian congregation by a world evangelist. I'm not going to call his name. He evangelized with George Foreman. They gave me the church for less than a year. They were looking at my intellect, I believe, because I sure wasn't ready. I'm telling you, I chose the streets with the pimps and the prostitutes, whoremongers, and that's why I chose it. That's why our church is located today, just like Osteen. His daddy did. That's where we went. I've been offered stuff out in the West End, 3 acres of land, house and everything. We in the worst street in the neighborhood with at nighttime, bah, 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 drive by. And I love it.
Okay, that's another message.
In these times of great revivals taking place throughout our country, overseas, the church with power, church preaching the kingdom of God's message is beginning to come forward, practicing the basics of deliverance, preaching the gospel, casting out of evil spirits, healing the sick. We live in a time that deliverance has been witnessed on television. We're seeing deliverance is starting to come forward in denominational congregations. Some mega churches are practicing deliverance. Surely, each of us should have been in this ministry or in this practice many years. And at this point, out of the closet. However, up to this point in history, on an overall basis, those who've been getting most of the attention are the Roman Catholics and the ritual of exorcism. And people, you and I know that it is the name of Jesus and the powerful name of our God that is used to cast out devils and not touching a person with a cross, some rituals, holy water, sprinkling of salt, or the ritual of exorcism. These type of methods do what? They only invite more demons in. All you got to do is Acts see them. In fact, in the 19th chapter of Acts, we find this priest named Caesar. 19th chapter, verse 13. The scripture says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews..." Miss Patty, you think I can get some water? Thank you. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, Exodus, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure ye by Jesus who Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Thank you, Sister Patty. God bless you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Sister. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. Who are you? The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded, uncovered spiritually. And this was known throughout all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Excuse me. Sceva and his sons, huh? The demon said, who are you? The enemy recognized Jesus. The enemy recognized the believer who had permission to use Jesus' powerful name, Paul. Will he recognize your commands? Well, he should if you're doing the same works. He should. Sceva had no power, and the enemy is still in believers' power because they are not practicing the believer's ministry. There are far too many Samsons in the church today, people. We've got too many Samsonites. They have their eyes on many Delilah ministries. Oh, we're so rejected, we've got to do something else. And God done told you to study this thing and learn this thing. You don't know where you're going to be 10 or 15 years. Like I didn't know 10 or 15 years ago what it would be. Oh, insecure guy just getting saved. Delilah comes in many types of ministries. Many good works designed to steal your Christian strength. Steal your particular calling from God. The good soldier's weapons are never beyond their arm's reach. A good soldier is not even going to go to sleep without his weapon or her weapon at their sides. They never surrender their weapons and are quick to detect any method the enemy uses to cause them to become passive in their commission. And that's what we're not seeing. When the enemy come and convince us to go with this good work, we become passive and we're not even seeing. So my question tonight is, are you a good soldier? Are your weapons ready? Are you loaded and ready to go for God? But Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. There are many ministries assuming that they are part of Jesus' greater works ministries. They have tremendous outreaches, tremendous recognition, worldwide record, tremendous food distribution centers, tremendous numbers, thousands in the congregation, all important works in the body of Christ. However, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. How can those ministries truly be operating as a greater works ministry for Jesus if they have not accepted and are doing the very same works? Greater works. We have a group of friends that one of them is one of my college professors, and we have an accredited school in Lake Charles. And anyway, we started doing some classes in 15 miles from our city at another church, and all the leaders were there. And so anyways, four pastors, we all came together and said we would support the Bible school. I spent 6 years going to classes. And but anyway, I'm not finished yet. I just want to keep on studying, keep on learning all I can. And but in that little team of four pastors, one of them always talked about is the other pastor across town. That's all they talk about. And the pastor so and so. And they're doing this at pastor so and so too. And so and so, so and so, so and so. We need to be talking that way about the power of Jesus. Jesus is the all-powerful one. Jesus wants to set the captives free. Jesus loves us. And we need to tell people that Jesus loves them. And that Jesus wants to set them free. Many have not accepted Jesus Christ. We just feel like the numbers are way out there. But I'm telling you people, we have a whole world out there. It's a great number of people that don't know Jesus. A great number of people that don't know Jesus. So my question is, how can your ministries, if you are considering whether or not you want to add spiritual warfare to your plate, how can your ministry compare with scriptures in John 14:12, where Jesus says, these same works you shall do? If you're not doing the very same works, then I beg to differ that you have a greater works ministry in your destiny. God will bless those that believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. and those that will continue in Jesus' complete commission. You are so blessed. I am so blessed to have the privilege to share a few words with you tonight on the importance of a good soldier. Now, I know I said some things tonight that were somewhat challenging to many of you, and even to myself. But the fact of the matter is that I do love you. And I say that from the most depths of my spirit. And that I know that God loves you. And there's some things that may have been said tonight, some things that that God is working out in your life. And it might be challenging. And you might be saying, oh, I'm trying, I want to learn more, I don't have this, I don't have that. I'm saying that this ministry is available to you for counsel, to help you with the Word of God, because I assure you that the only standard that our overseer and those under his delegated authority will use will be the Holy Word of God. But you must ask for help if you need it, because we do love you, and this is not just something we do for money. Trust me, it's not for money. But it's because we love you, and we want you to get free. We want you to know that your commission comes from God, and we're here to encourage you in your commission. I know that I've been a little stickler tonight on the issue of mentorship and submission. I'm a firm believer that your commission will be measured by your submission. How can you have your own work if you have not been faithful in another man's work? So I pray tonight that, that something was said that would encourage you to be more persistent and enduring to go forward in every aspect of God's Word and to understand the importance of accountability and authority. Many of us, including myself, were hurt by authorities. Maybe dad, divorces, authorities in the church that have taken advantage of us in adulteries and monies. And so generally what God does, He takes you to a godly man or a godly woman to restore you. He doesn't just send you out of where you were, and then into Egypt to start you a new work in Egypt. So a lot of people come to me, particularly women that have been raped and abused, and my wife and the counselor, they send them to me. And so they have to read through me, make sure I ain't got no lust and stuff like that. And so we can restore, so they can be restored. And so this is a very important that you realize that you don't run from your giants. And that you get delivered from your enemy, and that you don't allow him to be at peace with you, because he's a liar. He'll never be at peace with you. Never make peace with your enemy. Your enemy is there only for one reason, is to destroy you. I'm not going to keep you very long tonight. I'm going to throw out what I believe to be a demonic principality that's gone unnoticed for far too long in the church. And I've shared a few minutes about the first commission given to the disciples was to cast out unclean spirits. The Lord gave this in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 1, and to the disciples. That was the first authority Jesus gave to the disciples, to cast out unclean spirits. Well, since it was the first one, that's the only one we're going to deal with tonight. And so I'm going to put these principalities on notice in a moment and bind them up and throw them out in Jesus' name. If you agree with me, I ask that you disagree with me, and I'll come against these principalities in Jesus' name. Father, I put Satan on the notice, and I'm attacking him from my position in Christ Jesus, which is high above all of his principalities, world rules, and dominions. In the third heaven, I take authority over the strong man of the unclean spirit. I bind him in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I ask the Father to send legions of warring angels to come and fill every crack and crevice of the grounds. Begin to gather up all the principalities with chains and fetters and gag them, forbid them to be able to communicate one with another. I pray to divide and conquer us, all the palace right now. Destroy his armor. Expose him to nakedness. Everything that's done in dark will come to light. I take authority over the unclean spirits. You unclean spirits, when I call your name, you're going to come out. First of all, I break over you all of the curses that allow the unclean spirits to lie dormant in our lives. Generational unclean spirits. There's a lot of scriptures to deal with unclean spirits. The Gadarene had an unclean spirit, cut himself, had insomnia, hollered out, recognized Jesus, couldn't sleep, was a legion. In Mark 1:26, it was a tarrant, but it did not hurt him. Another chapter, it speaks of in Mark 3, I think, that they holler out in Mark 2. It talks about that when Jesus went to the synagogue, he spoke to a man that had an unclean spirit, and the demon says, and we are many. They never traffic alone. They always traffic in like packs of wolves. And we, for some reason, the Lord has been showing me the last 30 or 40 days that we're not really going after the unclean spirit enough because we want to go with the new generic drugs, you know. We like beautiful names like Belimoff and Leviathan. That's good. We need to get those too. We leave some of the regular stuff undone. We're not really going after him enough. I don't know if in the last month, for those of you that have practiced deliverance, how many of you have went after specifically the unclean spirit? Now, I'm Jezebel and witchcraft and Santeria, I mean, all these big names, you know, but unclean spirit, very seldom I even think about going after him. He's just lying dormant, but yet he's right there in the midst of all of this. Seizures, he's in the midst of Gadarene mental illness, he's in the midst of sickness and tearing and blood discharges, he's in the midst of, in the Bible, Leviticus 15:1-2, and verse 19 talks about issues, unclean bodies. He's in the Babylon 19, Revelation 19:2. He is the church in the end age, the unclean spirits, the cage of all unclean spirits, all foul birds. He's there. There's people out there that get a kick out of drinking blood, eating boogers, spitting on folk at athletic sports, on basketball games, spitting in people's faces, gangster movies, spy movies. They try to spit on the villain because the villain will kill them quicker because they're trying to make the person that trapped them mad so they won't have to suffer in their deaths. That's what the movie is depicting. We see in some of our comedians, our athletes, we see in politicians overseas fighting in the lobby, falling out, spitting on each other. What do you think is going on here? Who's at work? It's the unclean spirit. It is so clear for me to see now because I've been studying this thing for about a month. I've been seeing this thing. He's the unclean spirit. He's the unclean spirit. And a lot of our behavior, snobbish ways, going to the camp and just start destroying the camp is an unclean personality, unclean behavior. It's not always just unclean body odor. And unclean spirits are found in cancerous sores and odors and staph diseases, staph infections. They're found in a number of places, even in volcanoes and in these pits right here where the sulfurous boiling is taking place in those volcanoes and so forth. So there are a lot of places where the unclean spirit is at work. And you need to do a little study on that because he's there. And I'm going to call some names. I'm going to go back all the way back to the temple prostitutes, and even beyond that, where they had, for instance, gonorrhea. Gonorrhea was around, goes back many, 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 many thousands of years, people. And this is the problem in the church. A lot of the spouses, men or women, because I've worked with both, have a fear to come to leadership to get delivered when the spouse has been caught in a sexual sin. They might talk about that, but they won't talk about he gave me or she gave me. Okay, that's an unclean spirit. It needs to be cast out too. We just so happy to have our marriage restored. We might not even submit that to the leadership. Alright? But in deliverance ministry, that shouldn't be a problem because we're constantly covering, teaching this week after week. It's something being taught you every Sunday. Something that gets you free week after week. Sooner or later, whatever's out there is going to hit the table. And you can say, thank you, Jesus. I'm getting free today. But a lot of people are so ashamed because they know that somebody gave them the stuff. And they ain't never told it to nobody. Or they gave it to somebody, or they had it. And I believe that, you know, confess to your fault one to another that you might be healed is a very important scripture. And so I'm going to cover some things in just a few minutes. I'm not going to keep you long. So over the unclean spirits and over the curses over these unclean spirits, I break all ancestral curses in Jesus' name, all direct curses, all indirect curses, all self-inflicted curses. I break them, 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 I break them in Jesus' name over the unclean spirit. I break all the satanic seals over the unclean spirit. Well, you're sealed it in. I had syphilis. I had gonorrhea. I had a staph infection because my husband was fornicating and it brought that, whatever they call that. Doc was here. He told me the name of it right quick. It causes a lot of people to have unnecessary hysterectomies. But anyway, I break those curses in Jesus' name. I break those soul ties in Jesus' name. I break them. 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 I break them over your lives in Jesus' name. See, now you didn't have to go tell nobody publicly because God's going to deliver you sovereignly because you waited. And you knew deep down inside that you always wanted to get delivered. Or somebody listening to this DVD or CD is out there saying, thank God somebody really dealt with this issue. God, I didn't know how I was going to ever get free. I know that I gave this to my husband or my husband gave this to me. And I just needed to really see if I'm still free. So God is bringing a message to you this evening that he is here to set you free. So I break those curses, all the satanic shields. that sealed in the unclean spirits, the satanic prayers that sealed in those unclean spirits, and all the ties of the evil past. All those ties right there from all those hurts and those pains and all the things that we did when we was growing up, or sucking blood, eating boogers, and everything else that you did, liking the smell of sores and all this other stuff. We'll just break those curses in Jesus' name. And people, even on national TV, this lady said that she's spitting this man food and she had a cold. And she said, I got so tired of him coming to the restaurant every night getting coffee. It was on national TV. Another young man, they caught him. He worked for a pastry shop. And the hidden camera caught him, and he released himself sexually on some pastries and then stuck it up there for people to eat, and they ate it. But the camera caught him the next day when they rolled back the camera. And then they put that on TV for you to see. What are they telling you? What do you say? Ooh, that was just so gross that these people done. I'm going to be careful when I go somewhere. I'm going to pray for my food and stuff like that. I'm telling you, you still got to bind the unclean spirit. When I go to the restaurant, I try to greet my wife. How are you today? Oh, great. My wife and I, yeah, give us a moment. We're going to look over the menu and stuff like that. We appreciate you. They walk out. Father, we just bind the unclean spirit. Just bind every demon. Give us favor, Lord God. They're just going to love us here, God. And God, we are going to be generous. We're going to tip them. One thing, we eat with peace. Now, if my wife sees something, or if I see something, is everything all right? Oh, we got to go. I'm so sorry. Here's $3. Thank you. I saw you in your hand, Lord. I seen you. You don't do that. We just get up and leave. We see an unclean habit. You know, something like that. One day we went to a steakhouse. Everybody that was doing this. Just everybody did this. Well, I did this, did that. I said, oh, Lord, I know where you're going. She said, let's go. Let's go. I left a $20 tip that day. I think that was a demon, too. $20 tip. My wife, she... $20. I said, I just want to make sure I didn't judge her. I want her to be happy she got $20, you know. That's something else. You have a responsibility as leaders, too, not to cause judgments. I do whatever I can to keep. A $20 tip, Jim, that's a little bit over. But okay, well, my wife told me that already. Hallelujah. I won't keep you in a few more minutes. Father, I bind the spirit of uncleanness. I bind Satan and his demons in the heavens on earth. I loose this succession, this deliverance session from Satan and his demons in the heavens on earth. And on earth, I bind Satan and his demons in the heavens on earth. I forbid them to communicate with or reinforce any demons inside of every person willing to participate. I bind the strong man of unclean spirits. I bind him right now. I bind him over every person's house. I loose every person's house from that strong man in Jesus' name. Every one of you in Jesus' name. I take authority right now over the strong man. All bondage spirits, all unclean spirits operating in the families of demonic bondage, I bind and I spoil your palace, and your goods are no longer in peace. I put you on notice that we are attacking you from our position in Christ Jesus. And as I call your name, you're going to go to where Jesus tells you to go. There's a time for having a little fun. We're in riot right now, and this is serious. And so your demon's going to have to go. And mind you, and all the little humor or fun we had and things like that, I make no real accusation against the enemy. It's serious business when we fight him. Well, I don't laugh and play around with him. We might have a little fun sometimes. I think our God has plenty of laughter. But when it comes to the enemy, we don't play games with him, laugh and all that kind of stuff. It's a serious business. So I command all the spirits right now that from the unclean spirits of addiction to alcohol, addiction to caffeine, addiction to drugs, addiction to food, addiction to various gluttonies and all of the anorexia, eating disorders, anorexia, purging. I command you to come out. You come out of there in Jesus' name. All those god of the belly, all those unclean spirits in there trying to direct you to facilitate their desires in your bowels and in your belly. God of the belly, you come out of there in Jesus' name. All of the addictions and the unclean spirits operating there to meds, medications, and nicotines. I just cast out the sting of death right now. All that smoking spirits. You go in Jesus' name. You get out of there. All the bondage to sin. All of the evil spirits are broken in body, broken in heart, broken in mind, broken in soul. Come out. All of the bruised spirits, lazy spirits, and all of the filthy ways. Just filthy spirits. You come out of there. You go in Jesus' name. Spirits of captivity to Satan. I command you to go. Not only are we throwing you out of us in here, but we're throwing you out of our lineal descendants. We're throwing you out of our family. You got to go. All of our homes, our animals, our properties, everything that we have belongs to Jesus Christ. I'm throwing you out of all those places right now in Jesus' name. All of them. You got to go. All compulsive behavior spirits, compulsive cravings, and unclean cravings, past and present. You go in Jesus' name. Some of us just never had opportunity to repent or to go through a deliverance session where we can get somebody to cast out the unclean cravings we have for marijuana or cocaine or acid or drugs or sex. And so that's what I'm doing now. You know, just why should we just take it for granted? So let's go after the unclean spirit that was over that particular area in your life in the past. Go in Jesus' name. Everyone I just named, go in Jesus' name. You go. All of the unclean spirits associated with when we ate or are currently eating improperly cooked meats, rare meats, and blood. The lust for blood. It's got to cut that steak. See that blood go down there. I used to eat it like that before God gave me an understanding and I got saved. Now it's got to be well done or not. I don't like to go to dark restaurants where you can't see what you're eating. Something is wrong when you got a desire where you got to see the blood, smell the blood, and eat the blood on the steak. Something is wrong there. That's an unclean spirit at work, people. All compulsive behavior to smell oozing blood, lick the blood, smell dead and decaying flesh. Come out. You go in Jesus' name. All unclean spirits that are ever compelled you to sniff harmful things in your past, such as gas and glue, fumes, vapors, body odors, incense, and other unclean behavior as a result of unclean spirits. You go in Jesus' name. All of the depression, the despair, the despondency, the discouragement, the spirits of escapism, all of these the Gadarene had. You come out. You go in Jesus' name. Fear, the guilt, and the hopelessness. You go. Those are rooted in unclean spirits, people. You go. Just do a study on unclean spirits. Lust. Lust for clean things. There's one thing. Remember Howard Hughes in his last years? He lived as an introvert. He got to a point where he sealed himself into an area where he lived at, and everything had to be so clean. He wore gloves. He became an introverted personality full of fear and dreading. And they got people now that go to that house, and they go through the house, and got to go back through the house, and go back through the house, and go back through the house, because there's an unclean defilement in their lives, and they're living it out by trying to clean up the house. Now, that's men and women, too, by the way. I'm not going to do no man thing, leave him out. With y'all unclean cars and stuff and garages and workshops look like somebody living there with 25 people, ain't 5 foot by five. But anyway, so you got to take the time out. You got to go clean your storages. You got to clean your garages. I have to do that too. All right? And I assist my wife with cleaning the house. It's not her responsibility to clean the house. It's our responsibility to clean the house. The house is unto the Lord, not unto Alberta. And if you don't like it, buy expensive dishwashers and things that do work to bring it to your spec. So pay $800 for one instead of $300. That way you don't have to wash as hard on the dishes. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to show you how to work around it if you don't like doing it. Okay, all right. And some people just got a lot of clutter spirits. I bet they got a coined expression that we give to, not me, but someone else is given to people that seem to have a bunch of junk around the house, clutter queens. I think Monty Mulkey wrote a booklet back here on that, The Clutter Queen Spirit. That's a good book to read. I hadn't read it in a while, but it is a good writing. So I command the clutter queen spirits. You come out of us now. You go. All that clutter in the house, clutter in the car, clutter in the closet. You come out of there in Jesus' name. You come out of there in Jesus' name. I'm currently doing a spring cleaning in my house and my office. I'm redirecting the furniture. Restored some old metal cabinets we got for $20. I'll repaint them, put some inserts in there. I'm starting to file everything out. And I found out since I retired, I got much more to do. Also, unclean spirits, for some reason, they don't like a lot of sunlight. They like dark places. They like darkness. And so if you kind of, you have, some people have medical problems, okay, and they have to wear dark shades, so don't go left on me when I say this. No, I ain't going to say it. All right, so anyway. And then some people like dark paints in the house. But it's okay. Because we have some dark paints in our front room. We got three-dimensional paints in my family room. And I thought they were somewhat dark. But my wife and I agree if we ever sell the house, we're going to lighten the walls. You know what I mean?
You ain't crazy, you know. Nobody gonna buy nothing like this.
So you gotta lighten the walls when you sell it. Okay. All right. So when I talked to her about it and I saw it then, I said, well, she don't need deliver. She okay, that's just what she wants. That's the color. And she said, oh no, I like dark. It's gonna always be dark. And I said, you need deliverance, Alberta. She'll tell me I need deliverance in a minute, so I'll pay back. All right. So anyway, I'll tell you some things that's really true. So you got to look at your behavior, you know. See what's going on and see if you've got an unclean spirit operating there. You're just thinking it's what you like. Spirits of servant of corruption, come out. Wild behavior, come out. Self-hatred, come out. All these unclean spirits of nasty ways, nasty habits, wicked tongue, perverse tongue. Perverse spirit, you go in Jesus' name. Now, all of the unclean spirits, homosexual spirits, you go in Jesus' name. All of the past homosexual spirits, lesbian spirits, past lesbian spirits, you go in Jesus' name. All unclean sexual activities performed in and outside of the marriage, all unclean sexual activities performed against yourself, you go in Jesus' name. Oral sex, anal sex, sex with beasts, urine consumption, fecal consumption, you go in Jesus' name. Some of us might have came out of a background of homosexuality, so we had fecal consumption. You go in Jesus' name. Nobody's ever taken time to encourage you there, because you're already free, been free 10 years. Fecal consumption, come out of you in Jesus' name. You come out of them in Jesus' name. Eating of blood, eating of sores, eating of human flesh, spirits of fornication, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of gonorrhea, spirits of syphilis, spirits of herpes, all type of herpes. Herpes 1, 2, simplex, all of them. Every one of the herpes spirits, you go. I rebuke that demon of herpes. You go in Jesus' name. All spirits of urinary tract infections. Spirits of hepatitis. Hepatitis 1, hepatitis 2, hepatitis 3. All hepatitis. All demonic types of hepatitis. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Now, all of the serpent spirits. Snakes, vipers, biting, hissing, and spitting spirits. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Some of you come from backgrounds like myself, country boy. You can go out on the pond and you can smell a snake before you get there. Well, yeah. Snakes have odors. Go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Some of you have been delivered from snakes. I remember when the Leviathan came out of me. Of course, he didn't come out of me as a snake crawler, but I heard of people when they cast out Leviathan, the snakes crawl right. Right in front of him, mine was a, well, anyway. Just to say I made it to the bathroom in time. And so anyway, those serpent spirits are there, so they got to go in Jesus' name. And they're covered by the unclean spirit. That unclean spirit, you go in Jesus' name. All right, spirits of death, death wish and suicide, go. All unholy spirits, all ungodly spirits, foul spirits. Come out of the cage of demons. All the foul birds. All of the unclean, the cage of unclean, and every hateful bird, you come out in Jesus' name. You unclean spirits, spirits of Babylon, you go in Jesus' name. Now, legion. Gadarene had legion. He said, we are many. Jesus said, what's your name? Legion! They do not like to traffic alone. So that it wasn't a unclean spirit. They were always more than one. There was always more than one unclean spirit when you see the scriptures to deal with unclean spirits. And the first commandment that Jesus gave to the disciples to go out into the field was to cast out, Matthew 10:1, unclean spirits. First one. That should be significant there to look at, because I know I probably didn't do a very good job, but then some of you maybe have celebrated me over too much today, and I was kind of waiting for God to make me mess up a lot tonight so that you wouldn't be so much to more. Realize I'm just a man like you. So I was wondering how he was going to make me fall on my face before you tonight, but I don't know, he may have did it by now. But I do love you, and I know what it is because I love y'all, and y'all know that, and you love me. And I don't take it in the wrong context. But I had to say that for those who might have took it in the wrong context. All right, you unclean spirits, you legions, you go. You spirits of we are many, you come out of us, you go. All familiar unclean spirits, legions over unclean spirits, you go. Unclean ruler spirits, you go. The ruler spirits, and all the supervisory unclean spirits, you go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Every one of you go in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand? Father, in Jesus' name, I bind up all of the unclean spirits that I've commanded out today. Those that have not left yet. I command them to continue leaving until all of them are gone. I ask you, Lord, to fill up all the vacancies and voids in the minds and the body where the evil spirits have left the presence of your Holy Spirit, and continue to do so until all have gone. I ask you, Lord, to put your healing power down over all areas of the mind and body that have been ravaged, tormented, harmed, or wounded in any way by these unclean spirits, and cleanse and heal these areas with your precious blood. Now I ask you, Lord, to assign as many of your ministering angels as needed to protect each person present to all deliverance, healing, and filling of the Holy Spirit is being completed. Lord, we ask you to give each person present the discernment and needs to make he or she accurately aware of each time the enemy tries to regain access in their lives so he can be stopped. He won't be able to get a foothold. We now give honor, glory, and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ for all the work that was accomplished here today. I bless the congregation of the Lord. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Remember, at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's prayer time. Everybody come out and meet Jesus. Dr. Noe will be opening the door. I'm going to miss you. Trust me, if it wouldn't be for my grandson, I'd be here tomorrow. I didn't have to teach no more the rest of the week. That's a servant. Just want to be here just to love you and just to hug you and share with you. And any way we can to encourage you to become the generals of tomorrow, because I believe God is raising up generals. In the past, you show up to a place. Those five generals is the ones you see for 5 years. When we're in California, that's the same five generals. They go to Mexico, the same five generals. New York conference, the same five generals. Very few people are being promoted in the ranks as you study the great movement of so-called spiritual warfare around the country. Territorial warfare, it's always the same half a dozen people. But God said he's going to raise up some generals. He's going to raise up some people that are going to obey him. But the enemy has managed to make us feel like we're never going to be able to be anything except somebody that's always needing some help. That's about to change. Some of you, you're going to see that. May God bless you. May God keep you. To our pastor and to our leader, you're dismissed. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.